From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is The Mountain Life.
I'm Pete Stoughton.
And I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
Whether your mental or physical wellness brings you to the top of the highest peaks,
or you need a little help with the climb,
The Mountain Life, healthy living in the Wasatch.
Well, do you have the tools, Pete, to reset your body, recharge your metabolism, renew your cells, and rebalance your hormones? I don't think you did.
The bus is rolling over me today, guys.
And were you aware that you needed to? I don't think so. But our next guest will not only tell you why you need to do these things for optimal health, but he'll give you the tools. Dr. Will Cole comes back to The Mountain Life. Last time we talked with him about his book, The Inflammation Spectrum. Now he's back with a new book, Intuitive Fasting. Dr. Will Cole, welcome back to The Mountain Life.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me back.
Great to have you. I would say that most people would not use the word intuitive and fasting in the same sentence.
I would agree with you. On one side of things, I mean, that's part of the reason why I titled it, because it's this seemingly paradoxical thing. And for many people, fasting will be anything but intuitive. And that's why I wrote the book, is because a lot of people are struggling with what's known as metabolic inflexibility or metabolic rigidity. And it's why 50% of the United States has a blood sugar problem. I mean, a lot of people have weight loss resistance, trouble losing weight. They have insulin resistance. They have metabolic syndrome, prediabetes, type 2 diabetes. That's sadly most of the United States. So fasting won't be intuitive. But as you get more metabolic flexibility, meaning the ability to burn fat for fuel and become fat adapted, but also sugar for fuel too, you have the flexibility from a metabolic standpoint to burn both, there will be proper blood sugar balance. There'll be proper satiety signaling. There'll be proper hormonal balance. So you can go longer without eating, not because it's some punitive, arduous fasting protocol, but because your body's more stable. It'll be more intuitive. So metabolic flexibility is fertile ground for authentic intuitive eating and intuitive fasting. So that's the conversation I'm having in the book.
It's a great conversation. And, you know, we have heard a lot about intermittent fasting, which is what you talk about in the book. You just use a different term to title your book, Intuitive. And so many questions around it. How are you really supposed to do it? There's a lot of, I think, conflicting information. Can you hit the top couple conflicts that you hear from health experts?
Yeah, I think first of all, it's important to note that fasting, intermittent fasting, and especially the type of intermittent fasting that I'm talking about in the book, is a subset of intermittent fasting called time-restricted feeding. It is not about caloric restriction. You're eating ample amounts of calories. You're eating a healthy amount of calories. You're just doing it in specific windows of time that are flexible throughout the day. So it's not an eating disorder disguised as a wellness practice, and it's not about caloric restriction either. That's not where the benefits come from. The benefits come from giving your body a period of rest from eating where your body can work on and support reparative healing mechanisms instead of working on digesting food. So that's all that it is. It's leveraging the benefits of food as medicine, but also fasting as medicine. So that's a major, those are some of the major misconceptions, I would say, around fasting.
I guess my question and curiosity is this concept of intuitive fasting really addressing this predictability in our body's ability to adapt? Or is there another aspect of it that you're really honing in on?
I'm not sure if I understand the question.
Well, it seems, exactly. You know, where maybe I'm misreading this in some of your writing, that there's like a criticism of this construct that our bodies weren't necessarily created to eat three times a day within 6 hours of those and do that for the longevity of our lives. And there's some kind of benefit to this eating irregularly throughout the day, and sometimes that may mean not eating or eating 6 minutes after we just ate again. So is there an inherent critique of the predictability?
No, there's nothing inherently wrong. If someone feels great doing what they're doing and they're eating three meals a day. And three meals a day is not bad inherently in and of itself. The problem is, what's your relationship with those three meals a day? Because a lot of times people, they won't be able to go more than 2 or 3 hours without eating or thinking about the next meal, or they're going to get hangry and fatigued and irritable if they miss that meal. Or when they do eat, they feel more fatigued. They feel like that lethargic blood sugar roller coaster throughout the day. So it's being bound by that next meal, or having to snack, or being enslaved by insatiable cravings. That's the hallmarks of metabolic flexibility. Someone can be metabolically flexible and eat three meals a day. There's no problem with that. So there's this is a tool for people that are metabolically inflexible that are looking to gain that metabolic flexibility.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. Maybe then help to define, what does metabolic flexibility actually mean on a ground level?
Sure. So people, babies are born, all babies are born, producing ketones when they're born. And when they are nursed, or even if they're not nursed, what is added to formula many times is MCT oil. So these are fats that support the baby's ability to produce low levels of ketones, which is a fuel for the brain. It's known in the research as the fourth macronutrient. So we have protein, fats, carbs, and ketones. But as we get older, modernity and this sort of what researchers refer to as this evolutionary mismatch, this genetic, epigenetic mismatch, that our world has changed very dramatically in a very short period of time. Researchers estimate that 99% of our genetics, the majority of our genetics haven't changed in 10,000 years. So this genetic, our DNA, and the epigenetics, our environment, there's a chasm between the two. And fasting is a way to decrease that chasm, to decrease that mismatch, to allow our biochemistry, what it evolved in, to be more in alignment. So metabolic flexibility is the ability to burn fat and burn sugar for fuel. Most people are not fat adapted at all. They can't burn fat. It's very difficult to burn fat. And they're stuck in this sort of dieting hamster wheel where it's like kindling on a fire. If you take kindling off the fire, the light's going to go out. That's burning sugar for fuel. The alternative is burning fat for fuel. It's like that log on the fire. It's more sustainably burning. It's sustained energy throughout the day. But there's a time and place for kindling and the log on the fire, sugar and fat. And that's what flexibility is about. The best fire, the best light, the best energy is both.
That is the best metaphor I have ever heard for how we burn fuel, the kindling and then the big log on the fire. That makes so much sense. Dr. Cole, I'm just wondering, you know, epigenetics and metabolics aside and all of that, a lot of people would say, including my husband, okay, so I'm someone who can wake up, have coffee, and then not eat until 11. And coffee's very important in our house. And he wakes up, has coffee, and then he immediately needs to eat, or he will just have that horrible pit in his stomach. Mm-hmm. What would you say about that? I mean, it just shows the difference between two metabolisms. And I don't think he could ever do intermittent fasting if he still has coffee in his life. And maybe not even then. He's like a chimney, you know, he just burns everything up and he's starving in the morning.
Yeah, I mean, this is the heart of what I do in functional medicine. I mean, we're all different. So it's this bio-individuality. And the goal of this way of intermittent fasting, it's flexible. It's not this dogmatic thing where people have to adhere to strict rules. And you can have it work with your schedule. If you're a morning person and you love the art of breakfast, that's fine. You could actually move your eating window to the morning. And coffee doesn't break your fast either. So I love coffee as well. There's no shame in coffee. So you can do the coffee and it's still be in a fasted state. But if you want to wake up, have that breakfast, that's fine. You can shift that eating window and fasting window to suit your day.
Ah, good to know. I like this. You know, every time, Dr. Cole, that I talk about or I hear about intermittent fasting and this need to have our bodies rest from what we, you know, put into it, it always makes me wonder, what are the things that we eat that are, I mean, you're probably going to say sugars, but are there specific things that we eat that create the need to rest from those things?
Well, digestion in and of itself requires a lot of energy, even for healthy foods. So part of what I'm talking about in the book is that even healthy foods, if you're eating all day long and snacking and eating late at night as well, you're not allowing your body enough time to fully repair. If you are genetically more metabolically flexible, you don't have any health issues, then keep on doing it. There's no shame in that. But many people, because of that genetic epigenetic mismatch, and maybe because of other things going on with their health, they can't get away with that. And they're never giving their body a rest and time to repair and reset. So by shifting your eating windows just slightly as a starting point is a great modulator in our biochemistry.
Well, it's obviously worked because one of the most beautiful people in the entire world is one of your clients. And so, I mean, if that's not an endorsement, Gwyneth Paltrow certainly is. I hate to take away from the conversation, but how is it to work with Gwyneth and tell her to intuitively fast?
Well, she's been very a friend first for years, and she reached out a while ago and said, like, I want to improve my energy. And she had COVID in April, and she's talked about this publicly, and she wanted to regain her energy and work on some health issues. So we've ran some labs and implemented a lot of the aspects of the protocol in the book, but yeah, she's a great human being and very kind and generous.
Well, if intuitive fasting gives us the strength, the beauty, and the kindness of Gwyneth, then I think that's enough for me to start working on it. But my more serious question is, what about kids? What do you recommend? Because they would intuitively fast differently than I might intuitively fast. I would probably make them sit down and eat more mentality.
Right. Yeah. I have two kids myself. I have a 14-year-old and an 11-year-old. Kids don't need to fast. I mean, it's not really, I would focus on healthy foods for kids and have them have that as their foundation. And honestly, kids just, I would say most kids are more generally more metabolically flexible anyways. So they will, if left to their own devices, they will go longer without eating at times. Not every day. There'll be this sort of natural intuition of eating when you're hungry and have proper signaling pathways, so they're not having the same issues that adults have. With that said, that benchmark is moving lower and lower, and a lot of kids are, that metabolic flexibility is, for lack of a better word, is being destroyed earlier and earlier. And that's why what was once called adult onset diabetes, now there's lots of kids that have these metabolic issues too, not just diabetes, but other hormonal problems and insulin resistance. So those kids, not the same thing, because they're having the cravings that adults have and the same issues. But many kids still have enough flexibility to just naturally be able to have a more in-tuned relationship with food and an in-tuned relationship with their body.
Our guest is Dr. Will Cole, and his book is Intuitive Fasting. And Will, we talked to you with both your first, the two previous books, Ketotarian and Inflammation Spectrum. He's a best-selling author, and I'm not going to mention Gwyneth Paltrow's name again. But,
I don't think she's going to give me another question.
Yeah, right. But in addition to Gwyneth, you have incredible endorsements from many, many other, you know, international experts on the topics. And so this is the real stuff. Week one, reset. Week two, recharge. Week three, renew. Week four, rebalance. Those are the last four chapters of the book. And the first four chapters, of course, are why you do it. And so It is the four-week flexible fasting plan. That's what this book is about. And then it's funny because you have like 65 recipes, which is kind of, you know, we're talking about fasting, but then you have the recipes in there too. And of course, I'm sure that's part of, you know, anti-inflammatory foods and ketotarian kind of concept in there. Mm-hmm. Is that what they are?
Yeah, because you're not always fasting. That would be starvation. That would not be a good that would not be a good protocol. So we are eating as much as we're fasting. It's just the balance of the two. There's lots of recipes. And there's another reason why. It's because it's a ketotarian way of eating, which is the name of my first book. But this is like a continuation of this conversation, because they're two sides of the same coin. The ketotarian or clean plant-centric ketogenic diet is fasting mimicking. So you get a lot of the same benefits of fasting without actually fasting. So we can leverage the benefits of both, and it makes your fast easier. When your blood sugar is more stable and you're more fat adapted from the foods that you eat, when you lean into these flexible windows, it's not a big deal. It's really, you're more satiated. You have that log on the fire. So that's another reason why it's in the book the way that it is.
Absolutely. You know, the other question I have is, do you have to get to that place of being truly fat adapted before you are going to feel like you have an increased metabolism and increased energy? Because I've done it where I've gone sort of halfway before to the getting to fat adapted, and then I'm expecting my body to perform on a 4-hour mountain bike ride, and I'm not all the way there, so I must not be burning the log, the big log.
Yeah, no, and not everybody has to be fully fat adapted to see changes, because, believe me, I mean, people will start feeling better pretty quickly just because they're lowering inflammation levels and that they're eating healthier foods, they're more nutrient-dense foods. So there's this middle ground of really shifting the body where you're not entirely optimal yet, but you're going to feel better than you used to feel. And look, that's a place for, if you have a big mountain bike trip planned, then you can shift the entire fasting around your activity level. So I wouldn't necessarily do that when you're doing a deeper fast. And we leverage the benefits of kindling on the fire in the book too. There's lots of clean carb cycling options where you can leverage the benefits of the kindling on the fire for that burst of light or energy for your day around that heavier workout or that more intense mountain bike trip.
Just quickly, the reason I brought that up is I have a friend here in Park City who owns Alpine, or used to own Alpine Apothecary, and she told me that she was really into the fat-adapted diet, had books in the apothecary about it, and she would say, I get up in the morning, I can go for a 3-hour bike ride, and I don't even, you know, I'm fully fueled, and that's why I just kind of had that out there as, oh, I can do that too.
And everybody's different, but you're definitely, some people thrive on those faster workouts and their body is producing enough logs in the fire, enough ketones to do that. Some people are not going to produce enough logs in the fire, and they're producing them, they're still fat adapted, but there's still a place for the kindling. So everybody's different. That's bio-individuality, and there's no shame in that. So don't feel like you're a failure if you're not exactly like your friends.
That was actually exactly where I was going to go, because I shame all my friends who can't run for 3 to 4 hours without fuel. And then, they're, eating sugars and constantly feeding that little fire. But I just can keep going. So 3 hours, it's not a problem. How do we know if, I mean, other than just obvious failure, how do we know if our body can do that?
Well, experimentation is a good thing. I advocate in the book for people to experiment with a fasted workout and experiment with non-fasted workouts. And look, what works for you now on your journey is not necessarily going to be the truth forever and ever. So as your health continues to move in the right direction, as people are leaning into the protocol in the book, they're going to notice they have more resilience. And that's what we're building. We're building resilience for people's metabolism over time. So experimentation's one. I mean, and then if you want to get a little bit more granular, I think looking at labs and people want to measure different metrics like ketones, or there's different devices like Lumen that measure fat adaptation. If you want to get more biohacker-ish, that's a professional term, I'm sure, but if you're going to get more into a biohacker state, you can do that, or you can just keep it simple and go off of how you feel.
Oh, I like all that. Dr. Will Cole, Intuitive Fasting. It's the 4-week flexible plan. Thank you so much for coming back on The Mountain Life. It's great to have you.
Thank you, guys.
All right, take
care.
Thank
you, Will. Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Mountain Life.
If you enjoyed the show, make sure you subscribe, rate us, and leave us a comment.
If you have an idea for a future show, email us at mountainlife@kpcw.org.
We hope you'll bring your green smoothie and join us next week for The Mountain Life.